Einhard knew that book, and he built up his picture of Charlemagne by modeling it on that. Theologians in the Carolingian world debated a variety of the questions that were important to them that came up in their day. They debated, for example, the meaning of the sacrament of baptism. This was a world where large numbers of people were being converted on frontier regions, so they explored the subject of baptism, the sacrament of entry into the Christian community. They debated the great problem of predestination, a problem that had been posed by St. Augustine and has been argued, in a sense, ever since, for the last 15 centuries in Christianity. Quite simply, are all persons from before the beginning of time predestined either to salvation or to condemnation? Well, one might say, what's the problem? Well, the problem is that if one posits an omniscient God, then one posits a God who knows the outcome. If God knows the outcome, has he willed it? Or has he left humans with free will to do what they wish? This has always been a very complex problem. It was in the Carolingian world. There were also debates over, for example, the question of religious art. We saw that that was a problem that animated the Byzantines in this period. This was a time also of staggering activity in other areas. Between 768 and 855, 27 cathedrals, 417 monasteries, and more than 100 royal residences were built. Now, not a whole lot of that survives because these buildings kept getting knocked down and rebuilt over and over again over a long period of time. Another area of activity, the manuscript book. Now, I've suggested that there were large numbers of books copied. That's true. But let's put some focus now on the fact that many of these Carolingian books had beautiful, beautiful, beautiful paintings in them, and sometimes also ink, pen and ink drawings in them. These works of art, many of them produced at or for the Carolingian court, some of them produced at great monasteries, are among the artistic treasures of the European past. Most great art, most great painting from the early Middle Ages was not, you see, painted on walls, and it certainly wasn't painted on panels and hung in the dining room. Painting then tended to be in books. Now, these works could, of course, be produced for patrons almost anywhere, but here's another place where we particularly see the hand of the Carolingian family itself. Now, many of these books were produced in scriptoria, for example, at places like Tours, where Alcuin was the abbot in the last 8 years of his life. Now, a figure like Theodulf of Orléans is revealing of many of the trends of the age. He was born in 750. He died in about 821. He came to court as a theologian. He was from the Spanish March, from the south of France. His background was actually Visigothic. And he was given the charge of writing a great Frankish treatise against Byzantine views on art. He seems to have been the only significant Carolingian writer, for example, who knew Hebrew. And therefore, he could deal very intelligently with the Old Testament and with some of the questions about the prohibition or the permission of art. Charlemagne once used him as a missus in the south of France. We talked about the Missi Dominici in our last lecture. He was appointed Bishop of Orléans. He issued very important legislation governing his diocese and reforming the clergy of his diocese. He almost single-handedly produced a spectacular edition of the Bible that remains to this day a marvel of learning. He was perhaps the finest poet of his age, and a very fine poet withal. And just outside Orléans, in the little town of Germigny, he built a stunningly beautiful chapel. So he had some architectural skills as well. Now, Theodulf may have been unusual, but versatility was a hallmark of this age. For example, Rabanus Maurus, born in 776 or so, died in 856, was Alcuin's greatest pupil. He was a key advisor to Charlemagne's heirs. He was abbot of the great monastery of Fulda. He was archbishop of the great see of Mainz. He was an accomplished poet. He was a superb biblical scholar. And he was an encyclopedist in the tradition of Pliny from antiquity. Wrote a magnificent and lengthy encyclopedic work. Hincmar of Reims was an archbishop, was advisor to kings, was an historian, was a theologian of ability, and the greatest legal mind of the early Middle Ages. So what this Carolingian Renaissance presents us with is both basics and more advanced scholars, plain schools and the likes of a Theodulf. It created common foundations for the cultural life of Western Europe, and it built those foundations on Catholic Christianity. So the Carolingian period was formative politically, institutionally, economically, governmentally, but also culturally, religiously, ethically, morally, and academically. Here is the great foundation of the European tradition of Christendom.